Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
I'm very glad to come here representing the Diocesan Bishop to welcome all those candidates who will be confirmed today into the Diocese of Singapore. And secondly, I will be here to give them their first Holy Communion. And so today my message is meant especially for them. But of course, I hope it will also be beneficial to the others who are seated here and who come here to support their confirmation. So the passage that I want to use is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And the title of my sermon is Know Your God. Know Your God. For those of you who be confirmed, I think that is a very important item you have to consider. You must know the God you worship. You must know Him well, so that you know Him well and you can obey and serve Him. So know your God. Now, I know many people, many Christians in many parishes, sometimes they know a lot of other things about Christianity. They know about mission, they know about tithing, they know about deliverance, they know about worship, but their knowledge of God is not that great. So I think it is very important, the first thing for us as Christians is we must know who is our God and know Him well. So that is why I want to share with those of you, 61 of you, who will be confirmed today, to know your God. Now, suppose if I were to ask you as Singaporeans, what are the two favorite ways that Singaporeans like to spend their spare time? Any suggestion? Huh? Can you speak louder? Huh? Eating. Yeah, eating. Correct. Chomp, 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 right? Eating. Because you go somewhere in Serangoon, you find that there is a hawker center called Chomp Chomp. Right? You just chomp, 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 chomp. We eat a lot. Eating is one of the favorite hobbies. And then the second one? Shopping. Yeah. You see, so happy when they say the word shopping. Shopping. Cheap, 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 cheap. Chomp, 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 cheap, cheap, cheap. You know, as a matter of fact, if you go to Johor Bahru, and when they see Singaporeans coming, they say what? The Singapore birds are coming. Chip, 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 chip. That's right. That's true. And many men, most of us are, dislike shopping, have found a new purpose for accompanying our wives to the mall. They use the mall, you know what? To walk and to exercise in air-conditioned comfort. And after that, very likely, they will go for a big snack and then wasted all the effort in doing the exercise. But anyway, there's an excuse, all right? And Singaporeans are also very informative people. We are very eager to find out news. We have newspapers. One, in fact, is given free of charge. You know that. We have news magazines and news programs. We have the BBC, the ESPN, the CNN, the CBS, the CCTV, and so on. And we are most probably the most well-informed people who have ever lived. Information can be translated into knowledge, and knowledge, as they say, is power. Power. You know, but when it comes to our eternal destiny, speaking as Christians, one day all of us will have to leave this world. All this information about the world will fade away. no relevant to us whatsoever, right? It is spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom that we need. Even right now, as we journey on, we need a lot of spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom. Sometimes we know so much about this world, and we don't care, even as Christians, to find out what will be the world like when we go to in heaven. Isn't it strange? We are only spending about, what, 70 years, 70 and 10 here. I'm 80, I'm getting bonuses already. But when you go to heaven, how long will you be there? Eternity. Eternity, forever and ever in the presence of God. And yet we do not learn much about heaven. We know so much about earth, and earth is going to be faded away. It's going to be destroyed eventually. There will be a new heaven and new earth. So we need to understand who God is and who we are. If we do not see ourselves as beloved children of God, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world and adopted into His heavenly family, if we do not see ourselves as the object of the cosmic affections and attentions of the Creator of the universe, redeemed, forgiven, enriched, sealed, and secure, if we do not see ourselves as holy and righteous beings destined for glory above, we will not act like one, because we don't know who we are. We think we are lousy fellows, hopeless, losers. But no. You know, when we do not understand that and we behave otherwise, it is like a peacock. You know, a peacock is a beautiful bird, right? A peacock so regal and beautiful, thinking that it is a black and ugly crow. That is why Paul, in this passage, began his letter assuring us that these things are true. These things are true. Positionally, we are secured in Him because we are in Christ. We are already accepted. We are forgiven in His favor, in His grace. We must believe that, accept that, and live accordingly, or we will not have the Christian experience God wants us to have. We will not be joyful. We will not be thankful, because we forget who we are. So grasping this is not merely a matter of human understanding. Having these truths penetrate our hearts must include the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit will help us to understand all these things about God. He is our comforter. He is our counselor, illuminating our mind to the spiritual truth of who God is and who we are. And perception of these realities is usually a gradual dawning of understanding. You don't get it all at once. But as you walk through this spiritual journey, and if you love God and you do the things God wants you to do, you will gradually be more and more like Jesus Christ. The understanding, as we focus on the truth and as God works in us to bring about that understanding. So that is why, after telling us the blessings that our fathers in heaven, Son and Holy Spirit, you notice in this passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, but in particular 15 to 19, Paul prays. He prays that we will get it. Get it. Understand it, comprehend it. We understand, get it. And in this prayer, Paul is carrying saying two main things. And what are these two main things? The first part of this passage of Ephesians chapter 15, verse 23, is that our understanding, the first part. Our understanding. And the second part is our enlightenment. So this passage seems to be very detailed, but you can break it down into two simple sections. The first is our understanding, and the second is our enlightenment. Knowing God, as far as our understanding is concerned, knowing God is central in the life of a Christian, Paul says. Maybe we should, you don't have the verse up there, but let us take a look and read this passage so that we will see what Paul is saying to us in this passage. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, or even 23. And I read from the ESV version. For this reason, you have your Bible, please open to that passage. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. There you are, to know God. That you get the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God, of Him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what? Three things. What is the hope to which He has called you? That's one. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? The second one. And thirdly, what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe? How wonderful they are. So according what to the work of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And verse 22 says, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So brothers and sisters in Christ, the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ on earth. And so you find here that Paul actually encourages the Ephesians to have that understanding. Knowing God is a central in the life of a Christian. Not knowing of God. Not knowing about God. But knowing God. Knowing God. Not of superficial or even an intellectual or philosophical knowledge, but a personal, intimate, and experiential knowledge of our Creator God. Do you have that? As you grow each year in Christ, is your knowledge of God getting closer and deeper and understanding Him more and more? Or is it just stagnant at the point? You see, much of our living a satisfying Christian life, brothers and sisters in Christ, boils down to whether or not we do the things God asks of us. Obedience, that is. But to obey God you must trust Him. And to trust Him, you must know Him. It is sometimes it's very difficult for some people to obey God. Why? Simply because they do not know Him. You don't know God, then you do not trust Him. If I know somebody very intimately, I can trust the person, right? When they say, will you please lend me your car? If I know him well, I will say, here's the key. Use it. But if I don't know him, I will ask, what for? Why you want my car? So knowing God means that we must trust him. And we cannot trust him if we do not actually obey him. We must know God well in order to trust Him, and only by trusting Him, only we will be obeying Him. So it goes in these steps. First, we must know God, then we trust Him more and more, and when we trust Him more and more, we will obey Him. When we hear His voice, we say, yes, this is God's voice. And I will obey, because these are God's commands, His teaching, His guidance, what He says to me. So you see, in that spirit, in this passage, Paul prays, you see, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you what? May give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. That is the end point. So that we can have the knowledge of God. You see? Do you realize how important that is for us to have that knowledge of God? Otherwise, we don't know the truth from error. What is the difference between our God and other gods? Ephesians chapter 7, verse 17. So that you may have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now this is really, my brothers and sisters in Christ, a great prayer to be prayed for the Christians. It is a prayer we can pray for each other. It is a prayer we can pray for a struggling new Christian or a young person. It is a prayer we can pray for ourselves. That each day, we will receive more and more the spirit of wisdom, from the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. The word Sophia, translated wisdom, is equivalent to insight into the true nature of things. Wisdom is more than knowledge. You know knowledge, but wisdom is more. You know what to do, what is right and what is wrong. It is an insight into the true nature of things. So you see, Paul is not saying that we should have knowledge, but we should have wisdom, guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is not the cause and effect wisdom of this world. It is true knowledge and understanding of things as they really are. And the word revelation, whose root word is apocalypsis, meaning to unfold or unveil. It means grasping or understanding that which already exists. In other words, we need insight into the true nature of things as they exist and really are. So these, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are very important characteristics for Christians to have. We must have the wisdom and the revelation from God. So when Paul prays that we might have a spirit of wisdom, he is praying that we might be given a capacity for spiritual discernment. Spiritually, we can discern things, the right things and the wrong things, the wise things and the foolish things. When he prays that we might have a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, he is praying that we might experience through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and unfolding or unveiling of the person and work of God to us. Paul's whole point here is that we should come to a personal and experiential knowledge of the wonderful person who bestowed on us all the spiritual blessings which he had just mentioned. And since God is the only one who can make this spiritual truth known to us, Paul asked God to have that ministry in us. That is wonderful. Our understanding, we need that. Then the second part, Paul says, is our enlightenment. He goes on to pray that we might have more than just a personal knowledge of God. He prays that we might be enlightened as well, to know what this wonderful God has done for us. And in this regards, his prayer covers three things, as you can see from this passage of Scripture. First, Paul prays that we may know the hope of his calling. Verse 18. The hope of his calling, that is, the assurance of our salvation. And remember the words of a beautiful hymn. I suppose you sing this hymn quite often too here. And that is, my hope is built on nothingness, that Jesus' blood and righteousness, when all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Remember the hymn? My hope is built on nothingness, than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. This is a beautiful hymn. And Paul wants us to grasp that hope. That hope is a certainty of our salvation. Definitely at the end of this life, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we will be with him in heaven. For without it, you don't have this hope in this life, then life can be hard, can be difficult. Second, you notice Paul prays that we may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Verse 18 also. That we know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible says one day we will share this inheritance with Christ. Wow! Share the inheritance with Christ. So do you think the Queen of England is very rich? Do you think that Donald Trump is very rich? Do you think that Khoo Teck Puat is very rich? Of course they are. In earthly terms only. In earthly terms only. But in eternal accounting, they are not that rich. You are rich. You are rich because you are going to share the inheritance with Jesus Christ. We are rich. Why? Because everything Jesus has, you will have. The cattle on 1,000 hills, yours. A mansion in heaven, yours. Paul prays that you will begin to understand just how great your inheritance in Christ really, really is. That is real rich. Of course, you will know that in some countries, they are the people who are the old rich and the new rich. But when we are in Christ, we are really rich. And third, Paul prays that we may know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Verse 19. These are the three things he prays for the Ephesians and us. That we may have the hope of his calling. Second, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And thirdly, the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. What does this mean? This is not the power God gives to believers, but the power He exercises in our behalf, securing our salvation. Meaning, in fact, everything Paul mentions in these verses is an example of the power of God used in raising Christ from the dead. That power, the surpassing greatness of His power. So in a sense, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, God is saying, because I did all that for Jesus, raising Him from the dead, it is assurance that I can exercise whatever power is necessary to assure your complete salvation. If I did this for Jesus, I can do the same for you, for us. How wonderful that is. Not ordinary power, but the power of God that He used to raise Jesus from the dead. And that same power will assure us of our resurrection as well. You see? Because it has been done. It has been done. So we must, brothers and sisters in Christ, pace ourselves as we go on this spiritual journey. And this knowledge, this understanding is continuous and progressive. Day by day, as you come before God, He will grant you more and more spiritual wisdom and knowledge. And it does not come in quick and complete packages. You cannot pray for it today and have the UPS deliver it to your doorsteps tomorrow. No, it takes time. So we need a new attitude, a new disposition, a new mindset, a new paradigm shift, so that we are to become spiritual believers. We need to be constantly testing our spiritual health. That means knowing who we are and what we have been given. Do you know that? Not merely as an intellectual exercise or theological theorizing, but with every bit of our heart, our soul, and our mind. So Paul is saying all this to encourage us. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 21 to chapter 3, 12 to 14, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, these are Paul's words, very encouraging, and I read them to you. Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So let us come to the main part, knowing God. How well do we know God? You know, isn't it true more often than not that the God you picture in your mind is an old person, older than me? Has a long beard, and maybe also using a cane. Right? He wears a robe and sandals. He is not sure about modern things like advanced nuclear physics, dense packs, laser beams, and electronic computers. Can you imagine a God who cannot use those things? He is more of a kind of old grandfather that is there when you need him, and you can trust him because he is wise and generous and loving. He could handle most things today, but he is sort of losing touch. Is that your concept of God? Do you realize that there are very few prayers in the Bible in which people ask God for things? I challenge you to search the Bible. Very few people pray to God for things, materialistic things. They do not pray for material goods or for personal well-being in the Bible, but for the intangible things like spiritual enlightenment and enablement, that they might know God, serve God, and become more and more like Him. But we have the tendency of asking God, especially Singaporean, for things. Give me this, give me that. Your prayers, give me this, give me that. And more things. More and more things. Singaporeans like to have more things. We need actually, brothers and sisters in Christ, to pause here and check our unusual approach to God. Yes, you need things you can ask, but when your prayers are always asking for things, that is not the right way to come to God. God wants you to come to Him in order to know Him more and more. And I suppose all the things will come after that if you want. So no man has seen God at any time. Yet you notice Paul prays that I may know Him. You see again, Paul said, I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. I think I have some slides. Can you have the first one now? What I can't see here. Yeah, I think that's a question and answer, right? Am I right? Because I can't see from here. Question and answer, right? Now, let us see. This is the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Used in the old days, the English Church and from Scotland as well, for all those young children who want to join the church, they must study catechism. In other words, answering certain questions with the proper answers according to the Bible. Just like your confirmation class now. So today we have confirmation. That's why I'm bringing this up. And in the catechism, you find that there may be questions and answers. But this, the slide I'm showing you, is the shorter version of the Westminster Catechism, all right? And it was around 1647, roughly the time that this was done. So you notice one of the questions, in fact, 107 questions, but this is that part concerning God. 12 questions on God, the first part. The first is, what were we made for? Have you thought of that? What were we made for? And the answer is to know God. Have you thought of that? Maybe if you answer, you don't know the answer, what were we made for? To get rich. To be beautiful. To own a lot of properties. No, the answer is to know God. What aim should we set ourselves in life? Can we respond? To know God. Can we respond? To know God. What is the eternal life Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. What is the best thing in life? Knowledge of God. What gives God the most pleasure? Our knowledge of God Himself. What gives us the most pleasure? Our knowledge of God. What is the chief end of man? To know God and enjoy Him forever. Can you hear the repetition? To know God, to know God, to know God. That is the most important thing. And this, of course, was written even many, many years ago. And in fact, later on, when we have the confirmation service, I will ask also a few questions. You will find that more or less something like this. So you find that knowing God involves what? It involves first listening to God's word and receiving it as the Holy Spirit interprets it in application to oneself. You must listen to God's word in order to know Him. And receiving it as the Holy Spirit interprets it for you in application to yourself. Second, noting God's nature and character as His word and works reveal it. And third, accepting His invitations and doing what He commands. Obedient. Fourth, recognizing and rejoicing in the love that He has shown in us, approaching one and drawing one into this divine fellowship. So to break this down, the second slide, what does it mean to know God? Have you got that? What does it mean to know God? It means what? First, we must read and believe His word. There's no way you can know God if you don't read the Bible, if you don't study the Bible. That is the textbook for knowing God. Read and believe His word. Second, recognize His character. Maybe let me pause a while here and just give you a little test. The question I want to ask you is, do you believe that God can do everything? What's your answer? Huh?
Yes.
Put up your hand, those who say can. Everything. Wrong. You see? I can tell you several things that God cannot do. First, you want to know? God cannot die. Correct or not? Because He's an eternal God. He cannot die. So even if He wants to do that, you know, kill Himself, He can't. God is eternal. He cannot lie. Correct? Because He is a holy God. He doesn't tell lies. Maybe like some of us. He cannot lie. And a very important thing that He cannot do, praise God, He cannot break His promises. Okay? Imagine if He breaks His promises, then what happened to John chapter 3 verse 16? All these verses. No more. Cancel out. He will not break His promises. All the promises he says in the Bible, He will keep them. Alright? So you see, there are things that God cannot do. He is holy. He doesn't tempt us. He cannot tempt you. The temptation comes from yourself and the devil, but not from God. And God is always faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. He cannot be unloving. So you see that this is something that we need to also see. Third, accept His Son, Jesus Christ. Fourth, obey His commands. And fifth, rejoice in His love. So we know God by faith in Christ. He who has seen me has seen the Father. John chapter 14 verse 9. We know God by spending time with Him in prayer. And we know God by faith, assent, consent, commitment, prayer, and obedience. We know God by listening to the call of God in our life. And this is how we know God. Check your own spiritual life. Do you do that every day? Read and believe His word. Recognize His character. Accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior and Lord. Obey God's commands. Rejoice in His love. Are you really happy today that you know God? Do you know that God loves you so much more than even your parents or my parents? God loves you very, very much. And so, be thankful. Then, The last slide I want to show to you is this. Listening to that still small voice, whispering truth in our ear, telling us, is that a slide? Is it appearing now? First, God is telling many of us these things, that there is more to life than you and I are expecting. More to life. This life is not the best. There's more to life. The riches of this world are nothing more than that. Second, meaning in life does not come by accumulating possessions and receiving recognition. Sometimes because we're living in the materialistic world, we like to hoard things. Sometimes I don't know whether I admire those people who put their hands on the car for 2 days. I admire their determination. But I was thinking also, that's not the way to get a car. It's not that important. Can you imagine putting your hand on the car for so long, and you just give a few minutes to run, to relieve yourself? You must be there, rain or shine, doing that. I think something is perhaps wrong in our society. I think that the car manufacturer is making a fool of some people, just to do that because of possession of things and goods. Third, unless God fixes the center of our life, all those relationships we have or long to have are just futile. That is another important thing we have to remember. Unless God blesses us in our relationship with Him, are the center in our life, then all other things are just futile. Fourth, we are inherently flawed and will never taste the longings of our souls unless He remakes us, unless He gives us the second chance. And He has given, so let us make it. Get it. And finally, life has no satisfaction unless it is life lived with God and for God. I don't know whether you can say amen to that. Life has no satisfaction unless it is lived with God and for God. So therefore, in my conclusion, we must listen to God calling you to Himself every day. God wants to speak to you, wants to talk to you, want to share things with you. Everything else is just a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Nothing. When you get there. It was supposed to be there, but it vanishes. So answer the call of God to know Him better on a moment-by-moment basis, brothers and sisters in Christ. Those of you will be confirmed. Nothing is more important than that in this world. And nothing in this world can give you a better and greater satisfaction in life. I will conclude by reading to you a text from Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to these words written by Peter the Apostle. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him. There you are. It's only by coming to know Him then we can receive all these things. The one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. May God bless you.